Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today I'm hanging out again with my friend Kat. Kat is has her show on the creativeintrovert.com, and as you guys know, Kat comes around once in a while and helps me to aggregate all of the questions that you guys leave in the chat boxes, and we put them together and do some Q&A episodes. So thanks for being here again today, Kat.
Hey, you're welcome. Always good to be here. So today I thought we would talk about relationships and astrology. So not like the astrology of relationships necessarily, but you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody who either is also into astrology or isn't, this is something that we're going to be diving into today. So I guess let's start there. Let's say you're somebody who's into astrology, maybe learning about it, maybe even practicing it, but you're in a relationship with somebody who isn't and is like a muggle, as we say, you know. This is difficult, right? And maybe some thoughts on dealing with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one advice that I would have for people who are astrologers that are not dating someone or married to someone who is an astrologer is, unfortunately, it's not likely that someone, if they haven't already, you know, by virtue of you talking about your interest in astrology, gotten bit by the bug themselves and been like, hey, I want to check this out too, it's not likely that they'll have some big, huge change of heart because you proselytize to them about it. And in fact, that could drive a wedge in the relationship if we try to spend time getting people to, you know, ingest astrology content or get their chart read or whatever. So for example, I have people year round, at least probably a dozen times a year, I get someone who reaches out and says, I want to get my partner a reading. I will always ask, first thing I will ask is, do they want a reading? You know, I think you have to be really careful not to try to convert your partner or not try to push anything on them, because it's a bit like religion in that regard, or a political perspective. You may deepen existing differences or exacerbate tensions in the relationship if you try to force anything on anybody. And I know that that can be lonely. Like, that can be a lonely place to be in, to not have someone to talk about. But if you can develop friendships with people, you know, and some astrological community and stuff like that, it will probably take the pressure off from your significant other to have to be into it with you. I think that's probably the most important, because I think people get really excited about astrology, but then, like anything else, it's like, it's never fun to get into someone, into something, because someone tells you that you're less than unless you do.
Yeah. And I can just all, like, just imagine all the things that could come up, because it's really hard for me anyway, you know, to be really into astrology and not to want to talk about it all the time. But equally, if somebody isn't into it and you're like analyzing them based on their chart, I mean, that just must be terrible. So I mean, I don't know, maybe some partners are really tolerant of that stuff. But yeah, like you said, having a community sounds probably the most helpful thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other big thing, right? Is that not only are you like, oh, I'm lonely, I wish that my partner was into astrology so that I could talk with them about it. But there's also the temptation, if you are into astrology, to try to reduce everything that your partner says or does, especially the stuff that you don't like, down to their astrology chart. Oh, well, you said that because you're a Taurus, or oh, you feel that way because you're an Aries, or something, you know what I mean? And that's a very quick way to put stress on a relationship, right? It would be the equivalent in some ways, if you were dating a psychoanalyst or a psychologist or a therapist, and they treated every conversation like it was therapy for you. You'd be like, all right, you know, like, I just want to have a relationship. And so you have to be able to compartmentalize and sort of turn that off a little bit, I think. And also realize that it's not exactly healthy to look at one another through the lens of astrology 24/7. In fact, you know, what did the ancient astrologers, ancient mystics tell us? You're not your chart. You know, all of this temporary bodily stuff, including your psychology, is just one, it's just one little part of a journey that continues. It was going on before you came into this body. It goes on after this body falls away. And so to really see each other as spirit souls and to really get to know each other on the level of the soul, in some ways, we have to stop reducing one another's actions and choices down to the chart, as though the chart is causing us to do things. No, the chart is just a reflection of the different patterns that are related to the choices that we're making as a soul. And so we have to see each other as souls. And for a lot of people who don't share spirituality with their partner, especially, astrology will become a way of directing criticism at your partner for not being spiritual. And the way you'll do that is try to reduce everything they do or say down to some block or limitation or unconscious shadow that you're trying to explain to them vis-a-vis the birth chart. And that's, it's not a good way to look at human beings in general, what to speak of your partner. And it's a passive aggressive way of trying to deal oftentimes with not being aligned spiritually or not sharing a spiritual value system for your life.
Yeah. What about people who are seeing somebody or maybe married to somebody who is also into astrology? What kind of challenges can you see coming up there?
Well, then it's like dueling analysts in a way. You know, it's like you have two psychotherapists that are married to one another in every conversation. If it's harmonious, if you're having fun, then two analysts in the same room could really do a lot of interesting reflecting together, just like two literary critics or two film critics could have an interesting experience watching a movie together, so long as they have more or less the same observations or they appreciate each other's observations. But as soon as you get into a conflict, then it's as though, again, astrology can be used as this kind of weapon. It can be weaponized against one another. So, I mean, like my wife and I share more in common than we do, that we do differ when it comes to astrology. My wife's a clinical herbalist. And so the language of, you know, temperament and psychology, both through the herbal lens and through the astrological lens, are very complementary for one another. We rarely talk about our astrology anymore. At the beginning of our relationship, when we were dating, it was this very playful kind of flirtatious way of dealing with each other, getting to know one another and so forth. And it pretty much worked for us because, you know, we both had enough knowledge, and also, I don't think either of us were really vicious with it. Boy, I've seen some clients, they'll come in and they'll be like, oh, you know, my husband, he is just the most Virgoan of them all, you know? And I'm like, I'm always like, oh, it's just not going to help you. Yeah, if people share it though, I think it's just like, it can be really playful and fun. But you also have to be careful because, again, it's like you don't want to see the world too much through you don't want to see people in the world too much through the lens of astrology, if that reinforces identifying people with their upadis, their temporary material designations, like you're a Virgo or you're this or you're that. That has a way of really, it's not dignifying to the soul to do that to people. And so I also find that my wife and I have to be careful when we're out, not walking around and being like, look at that ass hat. He must have six planets in Aquarius, or I don't know what, but you know what I mean? Like, you have to also be careful of kind of developing this insider speak that can, you can end up sort of judging the world or using your language to classify the world around you instead of just meeting it with an open heart.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely thought about it as a language that I can share with my partner, which is really nice. But like you said, one way of seeing it for me is if it's making your world smaller, then that's not good. If it's making your world bigger, and that's only a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, one thing that could be interesting is if somebody is in a relationship with somebody who comes from a different astrological perspective. Like, I have a personal story about being in a coffee shop and with my partner, who has been into astrology for a lot longer than me, but comes from a different, it's more like evolutionary, more modern astrology, and was conflating the 12th house with Pisces.
Just kidding.
Well, yeah, well, and then, you know, then he got barraged by this lecture from me on the 12th house and the meaning of the houses from what I understood them to be. Right. And that's a real test of a relationship, that he could like tolerate that and be like, okay, honey, that's okay.
Right,
you can do that.
You had to, yeah. Yeah, that's tough because, you know, it's even hard for me as an astrologer, like going to conferences and being like, okay, like I'm a person who is friendly to all. Because there's like philosophical lines in the sand when it comes to astrology sometimes. And, you know, I go to a conference and I'm there, like, I'm just using a conference as an example, but I go to a conference and I'm there to like represent something of the Hellenistic view and the way I was taught it and the spiritual values of ancient mystics, especially the kind of the yogic perspective that I come from. But it's a bit more universal than that too. But I just say that those things I'm there to present. Well, philosophically and methodologically and practically, I share very little in common with an evolutionary astrologer. At the same time, I don't want to be walking around like, ooh, you know, those people are all backwards, you know, because I just don't like, I don't, it's not comfortable to live that way. But at the same time, I'm not a relativist. I'm not someone who's like, yeah, they're all equally good. They're all equally the same and equally valid. I don't think that that's true. So that doesn't mean that I think that I have the, all of the truth either, but it just in terms of, it's just like anything when you're learning about a field, you develop your views, you develop what you believe to be more accurate or a more a valid technique or approach or underpinning spiritual values that we have to discern for ourselves. So I think that somewhere between, you know, becoming really dogmatic and rigid and making you, you know, and having that make you close down to other people, whether it's a loved one or just friends with astrology. And on the other hand, being like, well, it's all good. It's all true. Which I think oftentimes doesn't help us to refine and refine our practices and become better astrologers. We, you know, that somewhere in the middle, we have to find our way. So for me, that's just continuing to clarify and refine my, you know, kind of do what I do the best that I can do it and explain the differences I have. But as one of my gurus often says, make sure that we, if we're going to attack something critically, that we attack a philosophy, not a person. So like, I don't agree with this philosophy or this approach, and here's why. And also we have to open ourselves up. If someone challenges a perspective that we have, to really be open to hearing it. So if we can do those things, then I think that it doesn't have to be like these personal turf wars.
Yeah, that was helpful. I think one of the words you used was that you're like representing this kind of a tradition in astrology. That doesn't mean that you are that tradition. So you don't have to be caught up in it or defensive about it, because it's not you. It's right. Just what you're practicing.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess the other thing there is, you know, like you're saying at the end, just about being open to the other person's perspective, because if anything, that could help our practice grow. Like, I don't need to just see things one way. If I can understand where somebody else is coming from through the lens of my partner.
Oh.
Other type of astrology or whatever it is.
You cut out for just a second there, Kat. You were saying that if I can see it through the lens of.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So if I could see. Yeah, I might just cut that bit out. It's okay.
Okay.
So the other question that has come up is just maybe speak a little bit to the value of looking at your partner's chart, whether or not they're into astrology. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I had a rule for myself with both of my daughters when they were born that I wouldn't look at their charts until they were a year old, because I didn't want the chart to color my experience of them. And I don't think that I'm not like opposed to people looking at someone's chart before you date them or as you're getting to know them or something. But I think that it's important to get to know each other as spirit souls, meaning don't judge a person based on their chart. Don't try to validate your interest in them based on a chart. Don't try to alleviate your anxieties about the future when you're first meeting someone based on a chart. I don't think that those are good practices, because we're not, you know, relationships, it's not like you're going to a market and buying something. So to be like, oh yeah, could you take out the blueprint and really show me what's up with this person? Are they good or are they bad, or are they, you know, good for me or bad for me? To me, this is a really self-indulgent place to come from when getting to know another human soul. So that doesn't mean that everyone who approaches me about a relationship is coming from that place. But I just tell people, you know, like if I'm into astrology and especially if I'm going to date someone and go out with someone who isn't into astrology, and it can't just be like a fun, lighthearted way of getting to know each other. Like, oh, hey, let's pull out our charts and like have a fun look. I would at least give it like a few dates, you know, maybe a month or two of getting to know the person before cracking open the chart, just so that that way your heart can get connected to the other person and experience them free from the lenses that will inevitably come over your eyes as soon as you start obsessing about their astrology chart. And the earlier you start obsessing about someone's astrology chart, the more likely the lens will really start coloring your experience of that other person a lot earlier than it needs to. So it was really great for me once my daughters were a year old to look at their charts, because I already knew them and I already loved them and I already connected with them. And at which point then I could start making some sense of things and being like, oh, and I could appreciate things, you know. But I think if the intention behind it is like, oh God, please don't let this be a dud. Let me look at the chart and make sure it's all good. You know, like, I think that's probably not the right motivation. Now, gentle curiosity with an open heart, I think that's good. And I think there is such a thing as astrological compatibility. So, you know, there's, you know, it might be good to have some understanding of what kinds of astrological signatures work for you. You know, for just a simple example, when I met my wife, you know, Taurus, she's a double Taurus with a Cancer rising. I'm a Taurus rising with a Cancer sun and a Capricorn moon. So the earth water connection in our charts is really nice. And I could feel that right away before I even really knew what was up, right? So I think a lot of the times it's just getting to know some of the signs and placements that might be compatible for you. If you're a really strong Mercury signature in your chart, you're going to need someone who really likes to talk, maybe, or, you know, some basic things like that, that you might look for, and could be just something that it's like a preliminary thing that you look for. And it's a little easier to do it if you're actually dating someone who's into astrology. But at the same time, I would never, you know, the chart is not just based on compatibility of like attracts like. It's also about the right kinds of tensions that we need to create growth in our life too. So that's why I say, you know, to people, don't be too superficial about what you go looking for either. Like, people will be like, so should I just go out and date an Aries or something? And I'm like, no. Just, you know, maybe your chart says you need some air, you need some fire, you need some compatibility with earth or water or whatever, but don't be too rigid about it either.
Yeah. And I don't know if you think there are any like real, there are obviously deal breakers in relationships, but can the chart really reflect that or determine that? I think that's the question. It's like, maybe the chart can reflect it, but are you definitely going to know that that's going to be the thing that, you know, breaks up the relationship just by looking at the chart?
Yeah. You know, I'm more inclined to say that, you know, we have, or the way I'd answer this is to say that we have karma in our charts. Like, say your seventh house karma, the ruler, planets in the seventh, the ruler of the seventh, Venus, that will give you a picture of some of the destined themes or patterns that you're likely to experience. So it's not totally wide open. And the idea that you can just go shop around and pick who or what you want is kind of a joke in a way, because there's at least, you know, at least every chart I've ever looked at for relationships, there's at least a couple of like very destined experiences that I think we are meant to have somehow, that are depicted in the chart. And in a way, the good choices that you make, that you could try to make thinking that you're really, that it's the future is wide open, or the bad choices you make thinking the future was wide open, it all hinged on this choice. So it's kind of that's kind of an illusion, because it's your karma that's determining things more than you think it is. At the same time, there's definitely a number of, there is choice. We do have choice, but it's like choice in concert with what karma you have around relationships. So, you know, that's where it's a little tricky to, you know, it's a little bit like electional astrology. People are like, oh, when is the best time to start a business? And they have an absolutely difficult transit happening in their 10th house. You know, it's like, well, it's not really the time at all, you know, but you could tell someone that, they're not going to listen to you, because they're hell bent on doing something, because it's their karma. It's the time that they're going to do this thing. And the compulsion that they feel to do it is their karma, and the ability that they would have to turn that off or step away from it is very unlikely at certain times in life. So it's not really a matter of electing the right date for the business. There will be no right date, you know, on the other hand, sometimes something is destined to be successful. It's like people will be like, well, how will I know who to, you know, you're saying a relationship will come at this certain time. Well, how will I know who it is? And will I make the right choice? It's like, yeah, don't worry about that. It's not, you're not in control. You're not, you don't have as much control over the situation as you think you do. So I think we have to keep that in mind as well when we're weighing out, this idea of like trying to find the right match astrologically, that some of it is like that and there is free will, but some of it is really already determined by our karma.
And do you think that by knowing about our own chart, basically, and like some of the patterns that we might play out that may not be very helpful in relationships, this is something that is helpful for people because maybe we're going to be less inclined to some extent to fall into those pits?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the main benefits of astrology, right? Is you become aware of the patterns. It becomes like an alcoholic if it's negative, let's say, if it's difficult, it becomes like an alcoholic becoming aware of the fact that they have a drinking problem. That's the first step in recovery in some ways, is just becoming aware of the fact that I have a problem, or becoming aware of the fact that there is a pattern and it's difficult. And with that awareness comes more of an incentive in your consciousness to, you know, have the intention to change something. And I think that our charts are flexible in that way, where it's like some karma there's going to be. And in fact, you can, Indian astrologers look at this very much in terms of, you know, the cardinality, the fixedness, or the double bodied quality of the signs reflecting the karma, or the house position. Yeah, some of that karma can be moved, and awareness is huge. On the other hand, just because an alcoholic realizes they have a problem, they still drink for a while, often, you know, and so before a rock bottom is hit, or before a turning point comes. And so I can tell you that I see a huge amount of clients who are very aware of the fact that they have issues in certain areas of life, but at the same time, they may not be quite ready to make that change, even though they're aware of it. And so that's my answer.
Cool. Great. I think that's all I've got on relationships and astrology so far.
Yeah, that was really good. One thing that I'll add just kind of popped into my head, which is that, for example, there's a way in which astrologers, this is something that I've noticed a lot at, especially at like professional conferences, that astrologers will have of saying, I did this or I did that because I'm a Taurus, or I did this or I did that because I'm a Leo, or something like that. And I would really encourage like anyone who's listening to not fall into that pattern, even though a lot of the times at conferences, it's like a joke. I've just noticed that astrologers, when I'm in the company of astrologers, that a lot of the times one of the ways that we try to create community with each other, which is totally understandable because we're speaking this language that not a lot of people know. And it's really nice to be able to speak it with other people. But again, it's that way of reducing what I did or how I behaved or why I act a certain way down to something astrological. And the problem with this is that presupposes astrological causality. That, in other words, it presupposes that the planets or the signs or the houses or the aspects are causing us to be in a certain way. And that's not the truth. The truth is that they reflect the way that we are, right? So they're signs, they're omens, they're indicators that say, this is how you act and behave. This is what you choose and do. And one of the things that can really deepen our relationships with one another is if astrology is no longer something that we use as a way of saying, this is why I act and behave in the way that I do. In general, that's going to enclose you within a certain boundary or definition of your own psyche, and it's going to do the same to others. And that does not help any kind of relationship whatsoever. That's really not helpful for relationships in general. If on the other hand, astrology can help you to say, you know, these are the kinds of things that I do or like or value, and astrology reflects it in this way, right? If you can just shift your thinking in that regard, you start to step into more freedom, and astrology won't become something that helps you, that keeps putting people into categories. It'll help you to become more intimate with people. And that's a subtle shift that I've noticed in my practice over a long time that's really improved my relationships. In the beginning, astrology, like everyone that I met or knew, I would be like, oh, they act this way because they're like this, blah, blah, blah. And in time, what I do is I say, no, they could act a different way. They could act any way that they want to because they have free will. They're not defined by their astrology. They're defined by their choices, right? And your choices, you're not defined even by your choices. Your choice is freedom. You have freedom behind all of your choices. So you're defined by being free, by being a free soul. So if I can look at people that way, astrology in time, if it helps us to look at people that way, is really helping us to step into the right kind of relationships with everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, great Q&A for today. If you guys have more questions that are prompted by this video, please feel free to leave them in the chat section. And in the meantime, thank you, Kat, for being here. Please check out Kat's work on thecreativeintrovert.com. All right, that's what we've got for today. And we will see you guys again soon. Take it easy, everyone.